Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio, a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota National Guard, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System, and Beyond the Yellow Ribbon. Get updates and show information at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Your host is former Command Senior Enlisted Leader for the Minnesota National Guard, retired Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham.
Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. Whether you're listening on a local Minnesota station, across the country on our national broadcast, or on your favorite podcast platform, we are glad that you're with us today. This week on Minnesota Military Radio, we take a closer look at how the Veterans Benefits Administration connects veterans and their families with the benefits they've earned, from disability compensation and education to home loans and survivor support. We'll also explore the mission of the National Cemetery Administration and learn how Fort Snelling National Cemetery honors those who served through burial eligibility, committal services, and lasting memorial benefits. Our first guest today is Charles Martin. He's here to talk about the big picture of the Veterans Benefits Administration and how veterans can connect with the benefits they've earned. He serves as the Veterans Service Center Manager at the St. Paul Regional Office. Charles, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks for having me, Doug. Happy to be here.
Yeah, glad to have you. Now, you had told me in our pre-show meeting that you have been on the show before.
I have, yes,
It's been a few years, though, so welcome back.
Yeah, thank you. Great to be back.
Well, it's good to have you here. And for those that don't remember, how about if you tell us a little bit, but don't spend too much time on the fact that, you know, you were born in Hawaii and spent a little bit of time there. Just tell us the other good stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So my dad served 26 years honorably in the United States Navy. Allowed me to travel the world, see things that a normal kid probably wouldn't see. Fast forwarding to my path through VA, actually my wife's brother, my brother-in-law, was a claims processor there. And, you know, they were looking to staff up. And he said, you might want to look into this. You know, I know you have that military connection. We do some really good work here. And fast forward 17 years later, I'm here. Talking to you,
wow,
Doug.
Wow, man, 17 years.
Yes, sir.
At the VBA. Veterans Benefits Administration. Thank you. Thank you for your service to our veterans. I mean, I know that, this is always kind of a hot topic, right? Mm-hmm. We want to make sure that our veterans get the benefits, the entitlements that they have earned through their service. And oftentimes, there's a compensation that comes along with it because of an injury or whatever. Yep. And we're going to get into all that. Yeah, but again, I want to say thank you so much for doing what you do, because it's not always an easy job. So let's start there.
Yes, sir.
All right. you guys have been busy.
Very busy.
You got a lot going on, a ton of different claims every year. Talk to us a little bit, or give us that picture, paint this picture of really what kind of scale or magnitude we're talking about as it relates to claims and the benefits that are reaching out to you guys.
Absolutely. So far this year, we've processed 2 million claims, and that's a huge number. The St. Paul Regional Office alone, on a yearly basis, we complete tens and thousands of claims, ranging anywhere from disability claims, pension claims, educational benefits. Also with that, we've had a strong focus on our workforce development, training our claims processors on the most complex claims to get greater accuracy. And also we've invested in tools so that we can be more productive and kind of, eliminate some of that, some of the holdups that, that have taken place in that claims process, so we can have a more efficient, streamlined way to process veterans claims.
When you talk about some of the tools, does that mean, because this is another big hot topic, right, is the addition of AI.
Yep.
Do you use AI somehow, some way to help kind of filter through some of these things? Or does it always have to be a human touch or human eyes on
this? Yeah, for sure. So, when we process our claims, we use the Veterans Benefit Management System, also known as VBMS. It's kind of just our electronic proprietary claims processing software that we use.
This is the same process that a CVSO would use.
Correct. Okay. Yes. Yeah. So it allows us to track the claim in real time, allows us to communicate with other regional offices real time. As far as AI goes, definitely, in this society, we want to try to use those tools to help us work smarter and faster, right? AI is not here to replace the humans. It's just to make our job a lot easier. So VBA has implemented some of those things as far as automation tools, as far as looking up records to make the research a lot easier. You know, a claims processor can just, you know, type in a word and it, boom, you know, pulls it, you know, through 100 pages of medical evidence, you know, it pulls up that keyword that they're looking for to allow them to process those claims easier. And there's also some piloting going on with AI as far as automated decisions. So, you know, they can run it through, but still is going to need that claims processor to review it to make sure that it's correct.
Yeah, I would imagine that's real helpful, especially when you're looking at you're going to have to help me out with some of the terminology. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's, secondary benefits that might come along with a main compensation that was granted or disability. I forget what that terminology is, but, you know, when you're trying to understand what else might be connected to the one driving thing.
Yeah.
And so in your St. Paul office then, how many people do you have working on these claims? Because, I mean, this is just a ton of stuff.
My division alone in the compensation area, we have about 354 employees working claims. So it's a huge operation. We also have a pension management center. They specialize in pension claims. And we also have our benefit eligibility team, also known as the BEST. They kind of do those ancillary benefits, dependencies, and whatnot. So all in all, probably about, 800 claims processors across the St. Paul regional office.
And when you say processors, then does that mean like the actual person that's doing the adjudication? So the CVSO gets all the data, they put it in the VBMS system, and it comes to one of your personnel and they look at it like, yep, everything's in order. Yes, in fact, this is service connected. Yes, we can grant whatever it is that they're looking to grant.
Correct. Yes, sir.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Whew. All right. Processing times. Mm-hmm. Let's talk into that or talk about that just for a little bit, right? Because you're saying, you know, overall 2 million claims, quite a bit, you know, in your St. Paul office.
Yep.
I can't imagine, even with the use of AI, although it might make you a little bit more efficient. Mm-hmm. Again, you said you got to put human eyes on it.
Absolutely.
I mean, what are we talking about? I mean, how long are we needing to spend on one application, but then what does the overall timeline really look like to get from point A to point
so,
B?
So right now, our average days to process is about 65.1 days. To give you some, you know, to compare that, you know, a couple years ago, we were at 100 plus days. So, you know, we've made some significant decreases in that area in order to process veterans claims more efficiently. Also, as far as our backlog, so VBA, we categorize backlog claims as claims older than 125 days.
Okay.
In March of 2020, you know, we were well above, that, 200,000 number. As to today, you know, we're under 75,000 in backlog claims. So that's just a real concerted effort on VBA to identify those longest pending claims because veterans shouldn't have to wait, and making those a top priority so that we can get those processed and get those benefits to those veterans that they deserved and earned.
Yeah, no, that's great. And I know that that was one of the priorities of the new secretary when he came in was obvious. And I think it's been a priority for everybody,
absolutely,
right?
Yeah.
But you have to, one, have the staff to do it. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine what it would be like to be in an office, in a cube, whatever, behind a monitor for 8 hours and just doing this all day long. I mean, it has to kind of get mundane. But it's very, very important work. So how do you keep your team motivated?
When I was a claims processor eons ago, I would always say, you know, every claim is different. Every claim has a story. And when you really dive into these claims, you know, you get to see these veterans' stories. You know, you get to see where they were stationed, where they were traveled, you know, their MOSs. You get to see all that stuff. And it's really fascinating, you know. And you can, you know, you go home one day and say, you know what? You know, I just worked a claim for a guy who, you know, had two Purple Hearts and did this and did that. You know, it's just amazing. And, you know, you get to actually call those folks and say, you know, hey, just want to let you know, got your claim, took care of you. It's been processed. You're going to get, you know, XYZ for your benefit. Do you have any questions? And then, you know, thank them for their service. You know, that's a really good feeling when you can really, you know, put a name and a face behind that claim. I always have a saying that, you know, every case has a face. Every claim has a name.
Yeah.
And it's the truth. It's just not just a number, you know.
Yeah.
You're really affecting people's lives. And we're doing that here at St. Paul. We're turning in the positive direction. Still a lot of work to be done overall in VBA, but definitely turning in the right direction.
Well, what a great attitude to have, right? Knowing that and understanding that, believing that, because
Absolutely.
It's true.
Absolutely.
All stories are unique. All veterans are unique. Their situation is unique. And at the end of the day, you have to have empathy, maybe some sympathy here and there, but you also have rules to follow too.
Absolutely. Got to apply the law. Absolutely.
And that must be a hard part though, is when you go through all the stuff and then you realize this is someone who really is not service connected. You know, I mean, that's got to be a tough conversation to have too.
It is a tough conversation, and you know, there can be a lot of negative effects on the perception of VA as far as, you know, us not wanting to grant benefits, but we actually really want to when we do. And usually, you know, it's just a piece of evidence that we're missing, or you know, we're missing a certain diagnosis that they haven't received from a doctor yet. You know, and so when you have to, you know, really going down and talking with them, working with the VSOs, trying to explain this to that veteran of what we need to, you know, get them to that next level so they can get that service connection.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, hey, we're going to take a quick break here. We'll come back. We'll dive into a little bit more details and talk about how you're helping and supporting our veterans here, not only in Minnesota, but I assume you got a nationwide caseload. So we'll dive into that. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. In the studio with me is Charles Martin. He's the Veterans Service Center Manager over at the St. Paul Regional Office of the Veterans Benefits Administration. And Charles, you know, we were talking about, you know, processing time and all those good things. But let's talk about something that maybe people don't generally know about as it relates to benefits. Because I think at top of mind, someone will say, oh, yeah, it's obviously a disability and they get compensation for that. But are there other things that maybe just aren't as popular or people know about?
Absolutely. So we also at VA, we also have multiple programs. One program is our VA home loan guarantee. No down payment in most cases, no private mortgage insurance, and you actually can get a competitive rate there. So I encourage veterans to, you know, look into that if they're looking to purchase a home. We also offer pension benefits. So, you know, for that, you just need wartime service with limited. And if you have limited income and financial need, that's a separate benefit from disability compensation. And it doesn't require any service-connected conditions. So it's mostly need-based for those veterans that need that.
And obviously, we don't have the time, you know, with another 9 minutes to go to go into all of the eligibility. But would you say go to your
VSO,
county veteran service officer?
VSO to see if you qualify, absolutely.
You know, we talked about, you know, of course, VA.gov is a resource, but go to a real person that you can talk to in their office, in your county, and you'll get great information
there.
Okay, how about someone who's brand new to this thing and, you know, they just – maybe they don't really understand the system. So how do you help somebody, other than going through the county veteran service officer, but how do you help people to really navigate this process to get the benefits?
Yeah, I want to reassure the listeners here. Don't be intimidated. You've earned these benefits. You know, if this is your first time, it can be a lengthy process. But and by no means there should be no barriers for that person. Top of mind, I always say, you know, go to a VSO, one of those organizations, MNDVA, DAV, VFW, all great resources, free for use, right? Free claim agents, and they know it. They've processed, you know, millions of claims. Also, you know, VA.gov is a great user portal where you can upload documents, you can submit claims, you can check the status of your claim. So really all great resources there. And then also, you know, come in person. Come talk to somebody. Schedule an appointment.
You said the word free, and I think it's important to reiterate that because one of the hot topics I've had a couple of legislators on recently, and we've talked about the Claim Shark bill that they're trying to get pushed through here in Minnesota. I would imagine that through your career you've seen those claims where you find out the veteran had to pay thousands of dollars to process a claim they could have got done for free.
You know, and, you know, I have my own separate opinions about, you know, the paid attorney process, but there's free resources for the veterans.
That should be the last resort.
That should be the last
resort. Is having to pay for that service.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. Yeah. We've talked about this, again, many times on the show, the PACT Act, right? We know it was you know, a landmark piece of legislation. So talk to us a little bit about how have you guys responded to it? What does it look like now?
So, you know, when that legislation was passed, you know, VA had to have a rapid response. So we staffed up. We had more training on those new disabilities that were now, you know, eligible for benefits because, you know, we got, you know, thousands of more eligible veterans for there. So we had to make sure that we were staffed up and that we had the training in place in order to execute that mission. We also have staff, you know, directed to actually work those PACT claims so that they see him more frequently. And so, you know, they're a little bit easier for them to process. So we've done a lot of work getting those claims processed and getting those claims in the right people's hands.
So if someone's listening right now and for some reason they have no idea what the heck we're talking about, can you just kind of give the quick, hey, here's what you need to know really about the PACT Act and who might be eligible for it?
Yeah, so what the PACT Act did is it extended benefits for thousands of veterans for burn pit, those who were exposed to burn pit, Agent Orange, radiation, other toxic substances can cause, you know, various cancers, various respiratory issues, and other illnesses.
Yeah, and what do they call that? It was, and I always forget this word, but you know, because you were there,
presumptive.
Thank you. That's what I was trying to think
presumptive
of. Before.
Conditions. Presumptive conditions. Yep. So it's automatic. Yep. If we can put you in that place at that time and you have that condition, it's automatic.
It's an automatic thing.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And
that's
you had to have a diagnosis, though. To have a diagnosis.
Yeah. Right. <Don't>, you can't just make something up and say, "Hey, I was there, so I automatically
need that diagnosis for sure."
And again, another resource, right? Go to that CVSO and talk about where you're at, what your service is, and those conditions, and they'll be able to tell you if it was a presumptive or not.
Absolutely.
Okay, cool. Well, thank you for highlighting that for us. Okay, here's another one.
Okay.
Because you're locally, it must be really easy to serve this population right here in the metro. But you've got veterans everywhere. How do you get everywhere? How do you get to those other areas?
Yeah, so we know that a significant veterans live in rural areas here in Minnesota. So VA has made a effort to go out into those more rural areas. We've expanded our VA accredited claims agents to rural counties and our Native American communities. We've also participated in various stand down and outreach events in those rural communities. We've also worked in close collaboration with Minnesota Department of Veteran Affairs and ensuring that we can reach out to those folks in those rural areas, because we know that, you know, it's hard for folks to, you know, make it up to the metro. And we also utilize some of our virtual meetings and whatnot to ensure that we can connect with those people.
Yeah. And I think more people on the ground getting out and about, talking about the benefits, the resources available. We know every county has a county veteran service officer. We know that we have tribal service veteran officers. We know that the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs has a claims and services team, field operations team that gets out and puts boots on the ground. And it's great to hear that you work in concert with them, because you can't compete against each other, because after all, this is a veteran who's earned something. We got to take care of them.
Yep, teamwork makes the dream work.
Yeah, that's what they say.
That's what they say.
Yeah. All right. So you're getting out, you're doing some outreach and trying to really share, you know, what's going on and really what someone might need to do in order to find out whether they're eligible. You know, I just tell people, if you served, just go talk to somebody.
Talk to somebody.
Talk to a VSO. Talk to somebody, and they'll let you know.
Or go to VA.gov, too.
Or go to VA.gov. There you go. We'll plug that one more time. Okay. So we've been spending, you know, really the last 15 minutes, and we're talking about veterans. Veterans, obviously, they did a lot of the hard work, but there's a group of people that did some hard work as well, and that is the families, surviving members of that family. Maybe you can talk a little bit about maybe some of those benefits, Gold Star families, that type of stuff.
Absolutely. So, yeah, you know, we have tons of benefits for veterans and their dependents, right? So one benefit that we have is our dependency indemnity compensation, which where, you know, if a veteran died in service or if a veteran died of a service-connected disability, their dependents may be eligible for some type of monthly compensation. We also have burial benefits, which you'll get into with my crew here from the cemetery. And then also we have some educational benefits as well that are also eligible for some dependents too.
And so I think that that's an important thing, right? If a veteran is receiving compensation right now for a disability that they have because of service and they pass away, generally that benefit just ends.
Correct.
But if they die because of that service-related injury, there's a chance that that surviving spouse would continue, or would it be the children too, or what would
that
look like?
Mainly the surviving spouse.
Okay.
If they died from a service-connected disability, then they can get that monthly compensation.
And is there a time limit on this? Like if there's a surviving spouse listening right now and they're like, my husband, my wife died, you know, five years ago.
He's got the death certificate. You know, if you have what the veteran died of and it's there and it's service-connected.
Yeah. Just so like it's not too late to apply for the benefit.
Not too late to apply.
Yeah. And I think one of the things you guys talk about a lot is when is it that you say you're going to apply, filling out this form, because then you've got a little bit of time to put the documentation mm-hmm. together, but then you get backdated. Is that right?
Correct. Yes. Yes. We protect that data claim from the moment that you sign it, from the time that we get it. The data claim is protected.
All right. We've got less than a minute. Going back to our veteran community. Mm-hmm. They're listening right now.
Yep.
They've never filed a claim or – they have, but they haven't checked in with somebody in a long time.
Yep.
What message do you have to that person?
Yeah,
right
it now? Doesn't matter if you, you know, served 5 years ago, 45 years ago, file a claim, talk to VSO. You know, this is not a handout. These are benefits that you have honorably earned. And it's our duty here at VA to supply you and to give you that help that you need with those benefits. You know, I would say go to va.gov, go to your VSO, and yeah, you know.
And would you recommend someone at least check in, you know, periodically, even if they're already receiving a claim, just to make sure?
Just go talk with someone, schedule a meeting, schedule an appointment with someone at VA, you know, so you can see and check the status of your claim.
Yeah, well, that's awesome. Well, hey, Charles, we appreciate you coming in. Thanks so much. Great to have you back in the studio
absolutely.
Again.
Great to be back.
And again, thanks for doing what you're doing and taking care of all of our veterans.
Yeah, and I just want to thank the veteran community out there. And, you know, it's a great thing that we do, and we're very thankful for your service that you provide to this country.
Awesome. All right. Thank you, Charles Martin. He's the Veteran Service Center Manager at the St. Paul Regional Office for the Veterans Benefits Administration. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Doug Wortham. And for the second half of the show, we're joined by Marcus Iverson and Jason Sellius to talk about the mission of the National Cemetery Administration and the services available at Fort Snelling National Cemetery. Marcus serves as the Assistant Director, and Jason serves as a Program Analyst with the Fort Snelling National Cemetery Complex. Marcus and Jason, welcome to Minnesota Military.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us on.
All right. Good to have you guys in and, you know, really talk about the National Cemetery. We've had our state partners on many times to talk about the state veterans cemeteries, but, you know, I think it's important to talk about Fort Snelling and show some love to our national cemeteries as well. But before we get there, I just want to start with Marcus. You served. Tell us a little bit about your background and what led you to Fort Snelling.
Yeah, so I was in the U.S. Army for 5 years. I was stationed in Baumholder, Germany. I was a field artillery officer. I was deployed to Iraq twice, one 12-month tour and one 14-month tour. And then after that, I separated as a captain and then came back home, got a job at the Veterans Hospital here in Minneapolis as an intern. Served in a management role for about 11 years. And then I transitioned, saw an opportunity to go to the National Cemetery. I didn't think I would get hired there. I did. And the rest is history. And it's been great.
Yeah. Well, thank you for your service. We appreciate that. And Jason, I was looking at my notes here as Marcus was introducing himself there. I realized I forgot to put the ka in front of it. So it's Caselius. I apologize for making that mistake. But Jason, give us a little bit about your history. I know you served as well.
I served. I was Air Force. I'm a Desert Storm veteran. So I
congratulations. Me too. I like to call that the Good War.
The Good War.
Yeah.
I was stationed in Saudi Arabia.
I was too.
And I'm going to kind of tie it back to your first segment. I was exposed to burn pits. I applied for benefits with the PACT Act. And I'm really appreciative for that, and it's been working out great. I get my medical care at the Minneapolis VA Medical Center.
That's great. Not only do you work for the VA, but you get care at the VA, and so you're a double advocate then.
Absolutely.
Yeah, well, thank you for your service. I spent time this could turn into a Desert Storm show. We don't want to do that. We're talking about the cemetery. But I spent time in Dahran, Khobar, and then we moved to a little tiny town north, just south of Kuwait, called El Sarar. Where were you at?
King Khalid Military City.
Ah, yeah.
The forward operating location. Yeah. It was an interesting.
Yeah, I bet it was. Well, we'll talk more later maybe about some of those stories from the good old Desert Shield, Desert Storm days. All right. Well, let's talk about why you guys are here, the National Cemetery out of Fort Snelling. And Marcus, I want to start with you. Let's just hear kind of what the core mission is of the National Cemetery Administration, or NCA. Tell us a little bit about that mission and, you know, kind of really what it, the complex itself represents for us in the community.
So National Cemetery Administration, it consists of 157 national cemeteries across the nation. We partner with 124 VA grant-funded state and tribal cemeteries, and we oversee about 4 million gravesites across the nation. What we're really proud about, in 2025, we scored 98 on the American Customer Service Satisfaction Score, which is the highest ever score in all of industry. That was a great achievement by the National Cemetery Administration. North Woods, which is one of our satellite cemeteries under the Fort Snelling National Cemetery Complex, they were ranked in the top 5 for their customer service. So that means that they were above average in 5 key metrics with their customer service. So we're very proud of that. And Brian Gleisner, our cemetery manager out there. It's veteran service veterans at the National Cemetery Administration, about 2,200 employees across the nation. Compare that to a VA hospital. Our local one here is over 5,000 employees. So we're a very small agency when it comes to the VA. About 74% of the employees are vets, and 28% are disabled. And this is the highest rate of any federal agency. And the vision of the National Cemetery Administration is to be the model of excellence for burial and memorials for our nation's veterans and their families. It's a breakdown what Fort Snelling National Cemetery is. We're called a complex, so it's Fort Snelling National Cemetery Complex. And we consist of 3 different cemeteries. We have our main cemetery, which is the Fort Snelling National Cemetery, where we have 55 staff. And we did, in 2025, 4,697 burials in 2025. So we're in the fifth busiest cemetery in the nation.
Is Arlington number one?
Arlington is actually under the Department of Army. One would actually be Riverside out of California.
Oh, okay. I did not know that.
Yeah, they're close to 7,000 burials per year.
Wow.
So, and then we have Fargo National Cemetery in Harwood, North Dakota, where we have 2 staff and they do 247 burials. That's what they did last year in 2025. And again, I said Northwoods in Harshaw, which is next to Rylander, Wisconsin. And they have 1 staff there and they did 85 burials in 2025. So we oversee all those, directly oversee all those cemeteries. And then we also partner with the state veterans cemeteries here in Minnesota, Little Falls, Preston, Duluth, and Redwood Falls. Huge kudos out to the cemetery program for the state. It seems like they're always being recognized at a national level. I know a couple of years ago I went out to Little Falls to present their birth award because they ranked the top in the shrine inspection.
Yeah, and Duluth just got recognized again.
Correct.
So, yeah, they do a great job. Dave Swantek, we've had on the show many times, and has a great program over there.
He does, yeah. So great there. And then our surrounding North Dakota, Wisconsin, those are the states that we partner with, too. They have great state cemeteries, too. So we want people to be buried at any national cemetery or state cemetery. And they've earned that benefit.
And our listeners can rest assured that regardless if it's a national cemetery, a state cemetery, they are going to be buried and they'll get that perpetual care. And, you know, they can expect high class service and a great looking grounds all the time.
Exactly. Yes, we're held to that shrine standard. And so there's no excuses for dead grass. Leading headstones, and those headstones are 220 pounds. They sink, they slant.
Yeah.
And so we're constantly doing rehab projects with them. You may come in the middle of the summer and see a whole section that's been where they're raising all the headstones out and resetting them, tearing out all the turf, the grass, and reapplying sod, leveling it all out. So, and that will constantly be going on through through perpetuity is what we call it.
Perpetuity. That's awesome. Thank you for sharing that. A lot of great information. And I want to make sure we get into some of the other things here. Otherwise, we'll run out of time. We're already at 8 minutes in this segment. And I want to get Jason in here real quick. And maybe you can talk a little bit about eligibility. You know, we've had the state cemetery talk about eligibility. You know, is it the same? Can you just talk through what it looks like for you and then the pre-eligibility process?
So for eligibility, you know, I could talk for 20 minutes and go line by line through the policy, but that's not going to work. What people need to, I think the big takeaway, the veteran, the spouse, the dependent child, they're all eligible, and there are no fees associated with the burial, the memorial, any of that. If you're interested in knowing or if you're concerned about your eligibility status, I highly recommend pre-registration. You can go to cem.va.gov, and you can do it right there online. You can come into the cemetery if you want to, and we'll help you fill one of those forms out. But that's an important process that'll give you peace of mind and let you know that, yes, you are indeed eligible for burial in any national cemetery.
Is that pre-registration just for the veteran, and then does that then automatically mean that their spouse is pre-eligible, certified as well? Or
a spouse can fill out their own form if they want to.
Okay, and just
determine
the
their eligibility.
Okay,
if you're married at time of death, it doesn't matter who predeceases the other. Then the spouse is eligible.
Gotcha. Okay, and then. You said obviously it's do the pre-registration form, but just real specific here, 15 seconds for the veteran. Is there anything that would make them ineligible, a type of a discharge or anything like that?
So yes, there are times when people are not eligible.
Mm-hmm. So just serving doesn't mean you're eligible. That's why you want to do pre-eligibility, provide documentation.
Yeah. If there's any question, there are, like I said, I could spend 20 minutes and go through the policy. If you have any question, I highly recommend the pre-registration. It's not a requirement, but it is going to help you. It's tied to our Veterans Legacy Memorial Program. Yeah. So as soon as you fill that out and you get your eligibility is determined, then you're automatically enrolled into Veterans Legacy Memorial Program, which is it's an online memorial, and you can actually, as the veteran, you can start telling your story before you pass away, and then after you pass away, that VLM, Veterans Legacy Memorial, is going to stay active so your loved ones can continue to tell your story.
That's awesome. All right, we're going to take a quick break here. We'll come back. We'll talk a little bit more about the National Cemetery Complex out there at Fort Snelling. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. Before we continue our conversation with our guest from the Fort Snelling National Cemetery Complex, just want to let you know that there's a VA Resource Fair coming up. It's celebrating America's 250th anniversary of independence. It's on July 1st. That's a Wednesday from 11 to 2 out at the Minneapolis VA. Resources on site, VA health team will be there, Veterans Benefits Administration will be there, who we had in the last segment, and of course our Fort Snelling National Cemetery folks will be out there as well. So go to that resource fair on July 1st out at the Minneapolis VA. All right, carried over into this segment, our couple of guests here, I've got Marcus Syverson and Jason, and I'm going to say it right this time, right? Caselius. You two from the National Cemetery, the Fort Snelling Complex, thanks for being here with us, talking about what's going on out there. We have a short amount of time here, and Jason, I want to start with you on this segment. You know, it's kind of a crazy day. Families are dealing with the loss of a loved one, and they're going to come out to the cemetery. What can they expect? What do you tell someone to expect when they come out for an internment?
Well, first of all, I think people should expect and will receive excellent customer care. It'll be a positive experience where you're talking to a person who can answer your questions and walk you through the process. But so for the committal service itself on the day of the burial, you'll come out to the cemetery about 15 minutes prior to your committal service, and you'll meet with one of our administration specialists. And they will kind of walk you through expectations. They'll answer questions, go over paperwork, and make sure that you're comfortable. And from there, you're going to go to a committal shelter where you'll have about 15 minutes for a committal service. Whether it's a dependent child, spouse, or a veteran, it's the same allotment. Of course, the big difference is that for the veteran, we're going to have honors. We'll start the committal service with honors. That can be the Department of Defense. It can be your local American Legion or VFW. Or we have at Fort Snelling, we have our own in-house rifle squad. They do a terrific job, and you can schedule honors with them as well. So after the honors is completed, you have just a few minutes there to say your final goodbyes, and then the interment will take place that day. The gravesite will be ready to visit by 4 o'clock that same day.
Awesome. And Marcus, you know, obviously ahead of going out for the committal service, a family needs to decide what means in which they want to have their loved one remembered, right? So what are some of the types of burials that you guys do?
Another different burials that we do, we have in-ground cremation. So if it cremains, we have in-ground gravesite plots with an upright headstone. We have columbarium niches too, which is kind of like the wall or a mausoleum also, it's known as. And then we have what we call traditional gravesite. So if you have a private vault you want to bring in, we have a burial space for that. We have pre-placed crypts too, which are double depth. So if we have like a veteran and a spouse, the first decedent goes on the bottom, and then the second decedent that comes in goes on top. And then also we have a scatter garden too, if that's a choice. We can scatter cremated remains. And a memorialization if the remains are unrecoverable, if we scatter them or if they're scattered at a lake or someone's property, we can memorialize them.
And Jason, so regardless of how someone decides that they want their remains handled, right, what type of burial or whatever, the 15 minutes, I mean, that process is the same. It doesn't matter who or what type, you get that same level of honors or, you know, committal time.
That's right. It's a committal service. It's brief. It's not a funeral or a memorial service.
Yeah.
It's a committal. It's absolutely dignified.
Opportunity to pay your final respects. And yeah, absolutely. I don't want to run out of time here, but there are different types of markers that you all will put, a memorial marker, I guess you call it. So can you talk a little bit about that and, you know, what kind of choices or options does someone have?
So at the cemetery, at one of our cemeteries, it's standardized in the columbarium. It's white marble niche cover at a gravesite. It's an upright white marble, and that's going to be standardized if you're in a veteran cemetery. Now, if you're in a private cemetery somewhere, the VA can still provide a grave marker at a private cemetery. If you already have a private marker in a private cemetery, the VA can provide a bronze medallion to be affixed to that private marker.
Okay.
So there's a lot of options there.
Yeah, perfect. I mean, and obviously, I mean, that's why the cemeteries look so nice, because we do have uniformity in headstones or whatever. Just the last couple of minutes, you know, Marcus, I think that one of the things that people might want to know is one thing we can't control is the fact that we're going to die. We are all going to die at some point in time. And, you know, the space that you have in your national cemeteries, let's just talk Fort Snelling, you know, I mean, it looks kind of full out there. I don't know. I mean, I haven't seen all of the grounds, right, the number of acres you have, but I would imagine you got to have some type of a plan for the future.
Yeah, and I thought the same too when I was, before I started working at the National Cemetery, driving by it, going to Terminal 2, it looks like it's full. We're not even near full. We got decades and decades of space left here. We're hundreds of years of traditional caskets or casket space left because we're such a high cremation rate. We're actually going to transition some of the casket space to cremations. We're working on building a new columbarium courtyard. We'll for 5,000 more niches, and that will only be half of the project, and we'll we'll build another 5,000 in the next 5 years, too. So it'll be 10,000 new columbarium niches. We're going to be open for decades and decades and decades. So don't have this thought that I'm going to take a gravesite away from another veteran. There's plenty of gravesites out there. We want you to take advantage of this benefit.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. And I would imagine that this is a constant thought as you're going through your planning, your vision, your strategic planning, that type of stuff, of knowing what you have and what you can support. Because you've got models, I assume, you know, the number of veterans that are serving. There's probably X percentage of veterans want to be buried in one of our national or state cemeteries. And so you got a good idea. Hundreds of years.
Yeah. So, yeah, we're landlocked in Minneapolis at Fort Snelling, but we could open up another cemetery way sure. down the line nearby. But for Fargo National Cemetery, right across the border in North Dakota, we bought 30 additional acres right next to our existing cemetery. So we're up to 35 acres there.
That's awesome. All right. We're going to run out of time here. Jason, what's the best way for someone to find out more information or stay up to date on things going on at the National Cemetery of Fort Snelling?
So I'll give it to you again. That website is cem.va.gov. There's a lot of resources right there. That's kind of our homepage nationally. And then locally, I would steer people to the Facebook. That's what we use for social media, and that's where you're going to get some really up-to-date information. So yeah. Find us on Facebook.
All right. 10 seconds. Marcus, final thought?
Go submit a pre-registration. Get with your family. Tell them you want to be buried at a national cemetery or a state cemetery, and we'll take good care of you.
Awesome. Hey, thank you guys for coming in. We really appreciate it. That's Marcus Syverson and Jason Caselius from the Fort Snelling National Cemetery Complex. We appreciate you guys. And thank you, our listening audience, for joining in each week and for supporting our mission to bring meaningful and informative conversations. We always welcome your feedback and guest suggestions. Please visit MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Click on Contact Us. You can catch up on past episodes of your favorite on your favorite podcast platform or at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Be sure to tune in next week when we sit down with Minnesota State University Moorhead to discuss education opportunities for veterans, service members, and family members. We'll also learn how federal ammunition supports the military community. I'm Doug Wortham, your host on Minnesota Military Radio. Have a productive week, and please take a moment to thank and honor those who have served and those who continue to serve and sacrifice so we can all enjoy the liberty and freedom this great country has to offer.